Today's program has been brought to you by TechServe, New York's original and still the best Apple computer, iPod, and iPhone store and repair shop. For more information, visit TechServe.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
We talk about food. We talk about music with musical dudes. Finger on the pulse, snacky tunes.
That was just Lucius, the track aptly named Go Home, off the Wild Woman EP. They will be playing live on Snacky Tunes later today. But first, I wanted to welcome Spencer from Melt Shop to Snacky Tunes. Welcome to the show.
How you doing?
I'm good. You look pretty well rested for a man that just opened up a restaurant a couple months ago.
Do I? Well, thank you very much.
The hat might help.
Yeah, no, it's covering the bags under my eyes.
Yeah, if we can turn the lights down here too, if you want. Why don't you give our listeners a little background on Melt Shop, kind of where it came from, where the first one is, and then we'll just talk a little bit about the second one afterwards.
Cool. So we opened a little over a year and a half ago in Midtown, actually, of all places. We have a 300-square-foot snack stand, and we're really just pushing out homemade grilled cheese. We have about 15 different grilled cheeses with mixtures of breads from Ore Washer's Bakery in Manhattan. And then we do all sorts of homemade sauces and fillings and meats and that sort of thing, and let you mix and match and kind of have fun with it.
Let's start with the bread.
Cool.
Because I feel like that for a sandwich shop is so, it's the backbone.
Absolutely. So, for grilled cheese especially.
I mean, obviously the cheese, but I feel like...
The bread and the cheese are equally as important.
Right. I would almost say that you could get a good melty cheese and get kind of close, but if you just got like bread. So how did you pick your bread?
It was all... I mean, there's three things. I mean, there's the texture, obviously, the flavor, and then the sizing, because we wanted to make sure we got the perfect sizing for the sandwiches. So the texture and the flavor are number one. And really, I wanted something that had like a lot of like air pockets and bubbles in it, so it would, you know, add to the consistency of the crust. So we probably, I don't know, we got samples from 20 different bakeries throughout Manhattan, and literally, if you you know, came to my desk, you would see mounds and mounds of bread before we were opening, because we were just trying to figure out you know, what the perfect loaf would be. And we settled, not settled, we went with Oarwashers because just their sourdough is, it reminds me the most of a real San Francisco sourdough, and you know, it just fit perfectly in these boxes that we created. So, you know, I think flavor, obviously, and the texture for us with the Oarwasher sourdough is so important. You get, with all the air pockets and everything, you get this extra crispy crust, which is part of what makes our sandwiches special. So,
I mean, I you know, I feel that most people 5 a.m. feel like they can fry up a pretty good grilled cheese sandwich. Like, to get kind of like, you know, let's say if one scale of 1 to 100, they'll get to like 80. What kind of sets like the next 20 where you're getting a premium grilled cheese sandwich? Like, what makes it the next or next level?
I think it's every layer. You know, we've put thought into every single layer that we put in our sandwiches. So the bread's, you know, the starting point for that. Adding, you know, salted butter is key. Those are both things you can do at home. And then you got to add tons of cheese. So, you know, picking the perfect cheese is something that melts really well, something that has a lot of flavor to it. I think is what makes our sandwiches special. And then, you know, the sauces that we make every day from scratch, and adding cool, interesting new takes on it. So, we do buttermilk chicken, buttermilk fried chicken, which, you know, everyone loves fried chicken. We thought that would be a great way to kind of fancy up a grilled cheese. And we're running different specials. So we have a special coming up, which is going to be a homemade beef brisket. It's actually my mom's recipe. You know, I grew up eating that as a kid, and I like kind of throwing all sorts of old familiar classics into our sandwiches. So that, I feel like that's really what makes our sandwiches special. They're not just grilled cheeses. They're kind of grilled cheeses and
something else. Yeah. So how did you come upon this idea? I mean, same thing, 5 a.m. I make a pretty killer grilled cheese, yeah. But I don't know if I could turn it into a business. Where did the idea come from?
I mean, in all honesty, I've always wanted to open up a restaurant. I love food. I love business. And it kind of came up in a conversation. I'm actually lactose intolerant. And, you know, I was always complaining about, like, missing grilled cheeses and that sort of thing. And one of the guys I work with now, one of the partners, was like, you know, we should just beat it out of you and make a grilled cheese concept. So that's kind of what happened. We were always talking about doing an original idea.
You did this to beat your lactose intolerance?
And it's beaten. Like, I mean, wherever Bert is now, I could crush a pie, like, no problem. But if you talked to me 2 years ago, if I had a piece of pizza, I'd be hurting for a while. So.
But I mean, I don't know if that's like the time-tested medicine. It's like, oh yeah, you're allergic to shrimp. Just eat a ton of shrimp.
I don't think it'll work with shrimp.
And you will turn the corner. But you think for milk, it definitely...
For lactose intolerant individuals, I would highly suggest just eating grilled cheese every day for about a year, and you will be better. I guarantee it.
All right. Well, we're going to pause on that note and play a track from Gigamesh, who is playing this Thursday night at DL. Punches is going to be opening for him, and then we're going to come back, talk about the new shop, some of the sandwiches, some things that didn't work, and then all things grilled cheese. You're listening to Snacky Tunes. Stay tuned. We have Lucius in studio live as well. We'll be right back. right, we are back. That is Gigamesh, who is playing live at DL this Thursday. So I know that some of the items that you have on the menu range from your traditional grilled cheese to some pretty out there. And the brisket grilled cheese actually sounds kind of out there. How has the reception in Midtown been to, like, the more creative sandwiches?
You know, it's Midtown's an interesting beast. I mean, you know, you get a lot of people coming in just wanting something simple, nostalgic, something that reminds them of, you know, the basics from when they were younger, and they can, you know, get in the habit of eating every day. So the hardest thing was figuring out how to cater to that market, you know, by giving people things that are a little bit outside of the box to venture out and try on a Thursday or Friday, but something that would, you know, keep them rolling through the week, I guess Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Because it's really funny, you see, because Midtown's so condensed, you really see people's eating habits and, like, what they get into, and really convincing people to, you know, kind of step out of the box and try something new was a big challenge, but also kind of the fun part, because, you know, you give the competition in that neighborhood isn't necessarily so unique, so you get to see the excitement on people's faces when they try something. They're like, shit, I can't get this anywhere around here, you know.
What is the one that you always try to push on people, is like, just, this is like an easy step outside of your comfort zone?
I mean, we have a three cheese, which is Gruyere, Havarti, and goat cheese with homemade oven roasted tomatoes. It's simple, but you can't really get that just any sandwich shop in Midtown. So if people are trying to, like, tiptoe, you know, and try something new, I give them that as a good starter. Or we do an aged cheddar with maple glazed bacon. So that's also a great starter as well.
Sounds awesome.
Yeah, it's so simple, and it's literally the perfect grilled cheese. I don't think that will ever leave our menu. It's staying for sure.
What are some of the ones that you, like, fought to get on there that just were just sold zero, air pie, and you're like, I thought this was going to be a success, but just didn't?
We have one on there right now that I've been working on, and it's stayed since the beginning, and it started off selling like none, and slowly but surely, as I convince people to buy it, it's been picking up steam. It's called the Shroom. It's just roasted wild mushrooms with goat cheese, parsley pesto, and Havarti on whole grain bread.
The whole grain could be the hard sell.
The whole grain is the hard sell, but yeah, it's like, after people eat it, they don't even, like, worry about the bread. There's so much flavor in this thing that after you try it, you're kind of hooked on it.
I mean, if I saw that on the menu, the whole grain would hold me up. So I was wondering, I was like, where is he going to get to? But interesting. But yeah, you're encouraging your convictions. You're sticking to your...
I mean, it's hard. I mean, I've talked to other chefs and asked them, you know, for advice on how to take to different menu items. And everyone gives you, you know, a different opinion. You know, some people are like, you can't get tied to menu items. You can't get tied. Like, you kind of build these, like, personal relationships with sandwiches at a certain point. And, you know, just because it doesn't sell doesn't mean you should get so upset about it. But so, you know, I really felt like a sandwich like that could do well. I was eating it every day and, like, trying to figure out what to tweak on it to make it better. And at the end of the day, it was just adding more cheese and more sauce, and now people just love it. So
have you seen, now that your second location has been open for 2 months, have you seen that there are different sandwiches sold at the different locations?
Totally.
What are some of the, like, the main ones in Chelsea? What's more, yeah, the Chelsea area, right?
Yeah. You know, we have, so that's the perfect example. I mean, the Shrooms, literally it sells twice as much on a daily basis in Chelsea as it does in Midtown, which I'm no idea why. I don't even try to understand it. You know, at this point, I just love the fact that one of my favorite sandwiches is actually selling every day at the new location, so I'm pretty pumped about that. In terms of, you know, other sandwiches, I think I see a lot more people trying to customize things in Chelsea. They're like, ooh, you have Gruyere, ooh, you have mushrooms. Like, let me throw all this crazy stuff into a sandwich that isn't on your menu. We're totally cool with that. And then also, people like to get really funky with it. We have this sandwich called The Dirty, and one of the guys who, like, rings at the register is a good buddy of mine from growing up. He started trying to sell The Dirty Bird, which is basically the dirty and adding fried chicken to it, and now that's kind of, like, totally caught on.
Wow.
And it's basically...
What's in The Dirty?
It's So the dirty is pepper jack cheese, lots of pepper jack cheese, caramelized onions, and potato chips, and pickled jalapeno peppers. And now we add buttermilk chicken to that. So it's like a 4-inch high monster grilled cheese sandwich that, you know, does wonders for your
internal,
your diet,
your future lactate
yeah,
and intolerance.
But it is amazing because you get the crunch, you get the fried chicken. I mean, it's a sick sandwich.
So, I mean, do you see that your menus might just diverge from, like, as you expand, that you might just take some off and add some on, or
this whole process? Totally. I mean, I'm right now in a kind of a R&D phase on some French dip sandwiches. So I'm about to add a few of those to the menu, I think. And I don't want to spill the beans too much, but we got like 3 under development right now. And I think the brisket is going to make its way into some sort of French dip.
You didn't promise your mom yet that her brisket would make it.
No, I did not even tell her. It's a secret. I just asked her last week. I was like, yo, let me get the brisket recipe. I'm going to make it for some friends. She has no idea.
So
it'll be
mom,
a surprise.
Pause the radio show. Well, I guess the brisket's out of the bag.
Yeah, sorry.
So,
it was a surprise.
It's
surprise.
Not me. It's your mother that's going to be like, well, yeah. Is it on there? Why'd you take it off?
It better sell. If you're listening, please buy the brisket.
Please, yeah, just to save Spencer some grief.
Yeah.
So what is to go back to R&D process, we had talked about this before a little bit off air, but the variable process, you know, where does the sandwich start? Now that you've already have your bread and your cheese and everything, what is the thought process to refining something so it's not like, oh, we're just gonna make crazy sandwiches for the sake of making it? Like, where does, you know, for example, your French dip, like, how does that get introduced and, you know, how does that get taken through the paces?
I always start with, you know, a great filling. So whether it be brisket or buttermilk chicken or whatever it is, I kind of start by thinking of things outside of the box that you don't normally see in a grilled cheese, but that I absolutely love, and I know a lot of other people love as well. And honestly, I just start making it at home for friends. Like, I'll have some buddies over, or, you know, have some friends over and make, like, 3 or 4 or 5 different options of, you know, that idea, and then, you know, make 6, 7, 10 sandwiches or whatever it is, and really see how people react to it. And, you know, I just want the rawest feedback I can possibly get. Like, it's not about being sensitive, it's about making something that people really like. And so I ask people for their honest feedback, and, you know, it becomes a collaborative process. And, you know, I think I enjoy doing that. That's like my favorite part of my job, is really kind of figuring out how to just make small little tweaks to things that just make it so much better, and you can really see and taste the difference, and you see the, you know, people talking about it right in front of you. So that's usually the process. That's my approach. I don't know if that's, you know,
so do you feel, as you've kind of gotten better, that like your first sandwich and like the starting of evolution is closer to the original project than it used to be? Like, are you getting better on your instincts of, like, what works and what doesn't?
Totally. I think I am. we'll find out. I mean, we've only had the new store open for, like, 2 months now, so things could fall apart.
We'll be positive today. We'll say yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Okay. My instincts are really, really sharp. I think, you know, what I'm realizing is, I try to read as much as I can and, you know, read about food trends and, you know, see what's out there that people, you know, really are enjoying and talking about a lot. And then I try to take, you know, that idea and, you know, put my own spin on it and make it kind of more homegrown. So I always, you know, revert back to like my kitchen at home and things I used to eat and enjoy and things that I used to eat with my family. And then I put those two ideas together and throw the word grilled cheese in there and then start mixing and matching different cheeses and figuring out how to make something that will really work and sell.
So then, final question,
yep.
2013, what's the sandwich, best sandwich that you're going to come out with?
I'm going brisket. I think the brisket's going to kill. My mom makes the sickest brisket.
You're really doubling down on this brisket?
I'm doubling down, 100%.
You let us know when it's ready.
Absolutely.
We grew up eating brisket as well, so I'm excited to have that. And I saw brisket show up on another menu recently for like a brisket sandwich.
It's like a New York Jewy sort of brisket more than a smoked brisket.
No, you don't have to tell me. There's carrots
I know exactly
what it is.
Cool.
So, thanks so much. Do you want to give people the nuts and bolts of where to find the stores, follow you online, send ideas?
Absolutely. You can find us online at meltshop.com. Our Twitter handle is melt_shop, excuse me. Our new location is 55 West 26th. It's on the corner of 26th and 6th Avenue. And our other location is on 53rd and Lex in the Outdoor Plaza. So you can find us at either one of those locations. Come check us out.
Amazing. Thank you. And thank you to Bullfrog and Bomb for stepping in today. and helping out. It was really great.
They
are the best. We're going to play another Gilgamesh song, but edit, his edit. Well, I'm not going to say what it is, but it's one of my favorite things. You'll hear it immediately. And then we're going to get Lucius in here, and they'll play live and talk about the EP and all things music for Snacky Tunes. Coming up next.
Say when they will come.
All right. Who knows what song that is? Anybody? No?
That's the Thunder Only Happens When It's Raining. Version of Dreams,
if they wrote that song in 1993.
Yeah. Dreams Gigamesh remix we'll be playing live this week. I would like to welcome to Snacky Tunes, Lucius.
Thank you.
No, hello. There's five of them. And just so it does not go to waste, they're all dressed in gender-specific matching outfits. Welcome to the show. Thank you. I was telling some of your boys that I saw you play at Hamageddon at Googa Mooga.
Oh.
And drew me in across the field, and then I was like, oh, these guys are great. And then, lo and behold, Girly Action Force works with you, and they sent you our way, and here you are.
On a We're happy to kind be of here.
Overcast gray December-ish day.
Yeah. But surprisingly warm.
Surprisingly warm.
Yeah.
So I want to start with the house in Ditmas Park, because I had only recently learned about its Victorian secrets, and I want to know how you found the house and, you know, where it seems like that's kind of where it all began.
Well, Holly and I had been singing together and writing before then, but we found the house on Craigslist, and we were just looking for a place with a bunch of friends, and we knew nothing of the house's history through the Craigslist posting. And we showed up, and we had already lost a house that we really wanted to have, so we were sort of weary of the situation. Like, we didn't want to get too excited about something that was not going to happen. And we showed up, we walked through the front door, and there's, like, vintage organs and a grand Steinway piano and a recording studio in the basement. And it was sort of like, what? Yeah. What kind of dream did we step into?
What was the working order of all the various working order? It all kind of worked, or?
We just needed to tune the piano, and everything was... Yeah, it was working.
There was a couple pianos in the house that were, like, from the 1800s that definitely were not working. Mm. But, I mean, it was pretty magical.
Pretty amazing. Yeah. Would you just were like, we'll sign right now. We don't care.
Yeah. Well, then we saw the rest of the house, and it was just, it was sort of...
We're like, we have to make this work. Also, there was tons of records in the basement, but clearly, like, the landlords didn't know the importance of all this stuff.
Right.
They didn't even mention it in the Craigslist ad. So when we moved in, all the records were gone.
Yeah, 3,000 records. He just threw them out. He didn't sell them on eBay or anything.
You asked him?
Yeah. Because we're like, where'd they go? Oh, threw them out. They're old records.
Like, you just, they just had no idea.
But all the gear was still there.
Yes.
Yeah.
You were like, please keep the organ.
No, we didn't know. I mean, we just didn't know that he was even considering moving anything.
Oh, you just took it as an omen, less like, hey, this will be left here. So,
yes.
How did those instruments begin to factor into the band?
Well, we started writing on the piano and met a bunch of neighborhood friends, including Danny and Pete. And
who are in the band? People can't see that you're looking around, but they're also in the band.
Yes, Danny, Pete, and Andy. And we just started hanging out and having, like, little jam sessions and writing on our front patio, and that's sort of how it began.
Okay, well, why don't we hear a song first?
Sure.
Let's do it.
This is called Wilda Woman. It's an unreleased track.
Ripping out the pages in your book. sneaky like a fiery fox. Oh, is that look that tells you she's up to no good at all? Oh, and she say whatever's on her mind. Them in vain, and can't help but wish you had bolder things to say. She's a wilder woman, oh, she's gonna find another way back home. It's written in her blood, oh, it's written in her bones. Yeah, we're ripping out the pages.
Amazing.
It's really funny to watch all these people.
I know. So you see, it kind of like answers your question. Like they, the people, the table by the window, they hear it. The people that are further out, like they kind of hear it.
Okay.
Like when you get loud, they're like, what?
But they can see us, obviously.
Kinda.
Oh, they just.
It's kind of like it's not a two-way mirror, but just because the way that it's lit.
Pictures with their phone and stuff.
Maybe they're taking pictures of their food.
Yeah, I mean,
maybe we should moon them.
Yeah. Hashtag Roberta's hashtag band. I feel like this show is very like stereotypical. Like people could come out of town and be like, oh, of course there's like a radio show and a band playing here or eating pizza. They're like, how Brooklyn, how Bushwick. Oh, and they're all matching in outfits. Mm. I mean, like I said, usually my brother is here and we are twins. So people are just like, twin hipsters hosting. So it's like just kind of checks the list. Vocals play such a huge part of your band, and I'm curious how that factors into the overall writing process of your song. You know, where do you start? And, you know, where do the ideas come from? And then how do you essentially build the layers of the songs that you make?
Each song is different. I mean, sometimes we come up with a line for a chorus or a part of a verse, and then build around that. Or sometimes we come up with like a vocal little tidbit.
Yeah. I mean, we started writing together really like it was the first time we had really explored with writing about 7 years ago. And we've been lucky because we've had very similar sort of patterns and sort of experiences in our lives that we've been able to relate to one another. And it's made the writing process. heartbreak and falling in love and, you know, I mean, just even visual. Even the, even moving, even, you know, living in the same place, moving to a different place, having to grow accustomed to a different lifestyle. I mean, just those types of things.
Got it. And then, so if it starts between you two, how does the music and then enter in, and then how do the background vocals as well play a factor?
We're just like, let's do something fun.
Yeah, we like to experiment.
It's the arrangement process is really collaborative. Danny's a producer, so he comes up with cool ideas when everyone's recording for harmonies and backing vocals and all that stuff.
The thing was, when we recorded our record, we weren't really a band. Holly and I had some songs. We got together with Danny, started recording, brought Pete in to play on some tracks, and we had never played together as a band.
Got it. And then, so the record recorded, and then you're like, you guys want to play in our band?
Basically.
Yeah.
It's like, this makes sense. Let's try this out. And then Andy joined the band.
Oh, welcome, Andy.
Thanks.
High five. On air, high five. So then as that came, I mean, you guys, I mean, most bands, you know, they play around for forever, like, oh, we should record something. And then how did it become, you know, recording the record and then forming a band and then taking it on the road?
I mean, we really, the band is pretty young. It's only about a year old. And our first tour was like 2 months ago, not even. So that's just an opportunity came about. And
where was it?
We went out with J.D. McPherson, who's an incredible rockabilly artist, and Milo Green, who are like indie folk band. So all over the Northeast, Canada, and the Midwest.
So, I mean, you guys are essentially band first and now becoming friends type of situation. I mean, most people... Not friends? Okay.
Yeah.
Let's talk, okay, this has got real interesting. Let's talk about it.
No, we met... we all met through this band, sort of, in, you know, we all knew each other through the small community of playing music in the same city, but... it did bring us all together, and you know, we met Andy not too long ago, but Danny had been working with, you know, Andy was playing another band called Annie and the Beekeepers, and
Danny,
it was a pretty
their record.
Yeah, so it was a pretty natural progression of how all the pieces came about, and then you learn about you know, what everyone's stinky underwear smells like along the way, so it's just like,
there was like, oh, I think that's mine.
Then we really
no
fell
longer
in love.
Stinky, I just washed it all last night.
Yeah, Holly did it really. I just think
Holly washed everybody's underwear.
The day we got off tour, she took everyone's clothes.
She's like, you know what, I'm taking this on.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, I think that's my bow tie, or I think that's my button-up shirt.
Yeah. My shirts are the ones that are ripping in the back.
The ladies keep track of where all the clothes are, because otherwise, we would leave them in each city.
Is each night a different look, or is it uniform across the whole tour?
It's a different outfit.
We have so many different looks. no, it's
we're really looking to Paris this year, a little bit of Greece, maybe some Milan.
We call this our midnight look.
More like grandma's closet.
Why don't we hear another tune?
Cool. This is called Go Home. Yes.
Everybody good?
Mm-hmm.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Dolly, stuffed with extra baggage. Lay me down to shut my eyes. Beaded gazes lead you nowhere anyways. Press on my heart, I will say, press on my heart, I will say. with a static smile. I think my stitching's coming loose, and I'm hard-headed but completely soft inside. I'm all wound up and steel. Can say is I don't need you anyway. I don't need you. Go, go home. I don't need you anyway. I don't need you. Go home. On my heart, I will say, press on my heart, I will say, I don't need you anyway. I don't need you. Go, go.
I'm gonna guess that one was on a shared experience of heartbreak. Just hoping I'm not reading into that too much. I want to talk about the comp that you made, because Freelance Whales are good friends of ours and good friends of the show. They were on 2 weeks ago, and we love them. They actually re-recorded our theme song, and they're the best. But tell me about this comp, like where it came from, how it came together, and.
Our van was stolen with all of our gear after our show, back in, what was it, July or something. And we had to do a pledge campaign because although the insurance company covered the car, we had about like $20,000 worth of gear that was stolen. And basically just called on all of our friends for help. And through that, we sort of came up with the idea of doing a compilation disc. Friends covering friends songs, didn't have to worry about copyright, didn't have to worry about any of that. So the Freelance Whales gave us permission to do their tune. They're good friends of ours, and that's how that came about.
Mm-hmm. Who else was on the comp?
Spring Standard, Sydney Wazer, Elizabeth and Dana. The Catapult.
I'm looking at Dana because these are all other Snacky Tunes bands.
yeah.
You won't.
Jukebox the Ghost.
Amazing. And so, did you? Were you able to raise the money back and replace all your gear?
Yes.
And so now, what? How do you get the comp? Because I want the comp.
Oh, it's a secret, but I will send it to you.
It's a secret?
Yeah. No, it's only to the people that pledged.
Oh wow.
That was the whole sort of.
And then once it was, you raised the money, it was done.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's actually really great. Yeah. To be kept in the vault for another van that gets stolen.
Yeah.
Full of knock on wood and gear and everything.
Yeah. Or in the vault for something positive.
Yeah. Oh yeah. That thing. So as you know, five two old friends and some newer friends and one very new friend, Telling Road, do you guys get time to explore and eat in the cities that you were on tour with? Do you guys eat well together?
Yeah. Sometimes. I mean, we all like to cook, so any opportunity we have to just go and get some fresh eggs and make a sweet breakfast. Usually breakfasts are where
to stay with people with kitchens.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we've been staying with friends or like
in our two tour we've stayed met. With one hotel in one hotel.
Yeah.
Usually just staying with an announcement on stage. Anybody have a bed for us?
Really?
A floor for us? Mm-hmm.
How does that work?
Well,
they're like, we will cook you breakfast.
You have to go
with breakfast. With none of the shame.
I'll make shakshuka anytime.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Got it.
That's my dish.
I would let you sleep on my couch. Is a requirement that one of each of you, all five of you, make a dish? Or is like, do you people usually have just like one dish?
Well, there was Jess and Holly, I just found this out, our taco masters. You guys made incredible, like a.
Oh yeah,
like,
we went to really the farmer's good. Market, guacamole.
Oh yeah,
like everything was awesome. Like its own little featured plate, and then I just smashed it all together. Like,
thanks,
slammed it in your face.
Yeah.
So like, breakfast
really
talk.
Crispy potatoes.
Yeah, Danny's go-to breakfast dish is definitely shakshuka, and that is always a crowd pleaser.
Yeah, it's easy and delicious.
How do you make yours?
Well,
yeah, get on in here.
Get close to that mic.
I've been standing about 10 feet away up until now.
Yeah.
Usually, I make some sort of tomato stew, and I'll add some kind of sweet element like carrots or sometimes a little ketchup. And then just let it like. Hey man, it's a food show. We're like,
it's a food show. Let's talk about ketchup.
Yeah.
No, hey, I mean, I'll tell you this. My mom's chicken growing up thought it was the most gourmet stuff ever. Three ingredients ever. Ready? Lipton's onion soup, apricot preserve, and French onion dressing.
That sounds amazing.
And I thought that was like, and I still make it and still pass. Oh, this thing? Hours.
Actually, just before we came in here, Pete and I were talking about all the like dishes that we had as kids that were like kind of symptoms of being like children of the 80s, like salad dressing and chicken legs. Like that's it, just like the worst Italian
that's
dressing.
That's what I thought you were gonna say.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, but it was kind of like, and I always tried to make it and it never tastes as good. And my mom goes, well, why'd you get it? I was like, well, I got fat free French dressing, you know. And she's like, no, you need to get this shit that's terrible for you in the 80s when we didn't know any better.
Yeah.
And put that in a pot. And I'm like, oh, okay. And then, of course, better.
It's the best thing ever.
All right, so ketchup and.
So you make the stew until it like simmers down and a lot of the acidity goes away. And then you just poach eggs on top of it for like 5 minutes. And there it is. Usually, I mean, my dad, he went to the Israeli army, and the way he described it to me is it would always be like whatever vegetables were left over from the night before, like the meal they had. So shakshuka was kind of like a poor man's breakfast. It was like, let's just take leftover veggies, throw it in a pot, throw some eggs on it. But
do you put the bow tie on when you're cooking in the morning?
Do I put the what?
The bow tie on.
Always. Okay. Only bow tie.
Only bow tie. Backless apron and a bow tie. So what do you guys have coming up next? The EP is out.
EP is out. We are finishing our full-length record, and we have a big show in New York on January 18th with Tall, Tall Trees at Mercury Lounge.
Amazing. Tickets available now?
Tickets are available now, as of Friday.
Great. So do you want to give people the nuts and bolts where they can buy the EP, where they can find you?
It's on iTunes. ilovelucius.com, LUCIUS. We're on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and all those things. And thanks so much for listening.
Yeah. You want to give those keys a test to make sure that it... There we go.
Sweet.
Well, big shout out to the Melt Shop and Spencer, Bullfrog and Bomb. Shout out to Girly Action. Dana, thank you so much. Roberta's, as always. Jack, welcome back from vacation. Joe... The whole crew. We have one more episode left for this year. I believe it's Teen playing live, and I'm not sure the food guest because that's just where I'm at right now in my life. And don't judge me. Thank you so much, guys, for coming. This has been
amazing. Thanks so much for having us.
What's the name of the last song?
It's called Turn It Around, and we actually have a video that came out about a month and a half ago. It's on YouTube for this song, so check it out.
Thanks for everybody listening to Snacky Tunes. shout out to Darren and Joe and Mom and Dad. And Dad, feel better. See you guys next week.
Feel better, Dad.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.